Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Monday is done, and Tuesday is underway in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. Hi, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. And yesterday, 12/13/2021, marked exactly 29 years since we had been pastoring Merritt Assembly of God. And so we're now into our 30th cycle around the sun of pastoring that great church. And we would love to have you come and be a part of that. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and be a part of that. If you have a gift set that you are not utilizing for the kingdom of God, and you think that maybe God's calling you to Merritt Assembly of God, we would love to meet with you, worship with you, talk to you about it, and see what God has in store for that. But here's the one thing that I do believe. I believe that Merritt Assembly of God's best days are still in front of us, and not behind us. And so we want to encourage you to come and worship with us. Now, this coming Wednesday night, that would be tomorrow night, we're going to be having a Bible study, but we're also going to do some Christmas cookies and hot chocolate and coffee and things like that. That'll be our last Wednesday night service before Christmas. And so if you want to come and be a part of that, that's 7 p.m. Wednesday night, 165 North Grove Street. So we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. We're not going to read as much of the passage about leadership and Moses' leadership and its relationship to truth and what type of people you want to look for. Let's go back and we will read verses 17 through 21, Exodus chapter 18, verses 17 through 21. And it says this: So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes, the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such of over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." So yesterday we concluded with that Moses was supposed to teach them the statutes of the law and the laws, show them the way which they walk, and the work they must do. Okay, working for the glory of God doesn't earn us our salvation. But because of the gracious, merciful work of Jesus Christ, we get to work for the glory of God. It is not just a select few. Everyone is called to function in the body of Christ. There are no unnecessary body parts. Okay? In fact, because of a childhood accident that I have, I'm missing a couple of finger joints on my right ring finger. And out of all of the fingers, that one there doesn't do much. I mean, it's involved in some typing. It was pretty useful for bowling, but I just put a different type of hook on the ball than what some people do. But a lot of times people, when they see that a body part is missing, they want to know the story. There's something not right here. What's going on? We want to find out what's going on with this. Why is that finger not there? And kids are a lot of fun. You know, I can do all sorts of things and make it look like I'm hiding it and all that sort of stuff. But just having fun with them there. But when it comes to the body of Christ, it's no joke. It's nothing to play around with when the work of the kingdom is not able to go forward because the person who was supposed to be doing the job isn't there. So Moses was doing everything himself. You have to grow out of the temptation of trying to do everything yourself. I have to grow out of that temptation. Everybody that wants to be efficient and doesn't want the work to kill them has got to learn to grow out of that. So I said when I came, God, I don't mind giving my life for you. But I don't want the work of the ministry to be what takes me out. What I was saying was, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I will do it till my last breath. But I don't want to do it in such a way that my body pays the price because I was not spiritually obedient in the process that you wanted me to function in. So I want to encourage you, if you are, let me start it from this, if you are doing too much, I want to encourage you to find someone that you can train like Moses did to help you. If you're not actively involved at all, I want to encourage you to plug in greater than you've ever plugged in before, because the body of Christ needs you. We still have too many people who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior in Brevard County. So Moses' father-in-law continues in verse 21, and he says, "Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers, and let them judge the people at all times." That's verse number 22. So let's look at this. The first type of people that Moses was commanded to search out for by his father-in-law was people that had some ability. They were able to do what Moses needed them to do. Okay, so I am not the tallest gentleman in Brevard County. I'm not the shortest, but I'm not the tallest. And there have been a couple of times when I've been in the grocery store. And I'm just there to help. I've got one of those faces that just looks like I should be working there. When I was in retail, people would come up to me. I would be walking through a store, you know, office supply store or something like that, and people come up to me and start asking me for help. I said, I don't work here. I don't work here. But I just looked like I wanted to help, and so they came. And they couldn't find anybody else. They said, "Hey, could you help me?" Well, on a couple of occasions, I have been in grocery stores, and there would be people that say, "Would you help me get something off of the top shelf?" Well, I want you to know that's not exactly an offer of assistance that I get requested of very often. And in both of those occasions, I was able to reach it and help them out. And I was like, yes, hey, somebody saw me and they said, "You can help me with a top shelf problem." And so that was exciting. But not everybody can do that. And not everybody can help you with the lower shelf problems. You know, if you go in a grocery store, there's things that are just barely off the floor, things that are up high. If you go into a hardware store, a large hardware store, it gets even more extreme. They get even higher up there and things like that. You need people with the ability to help you solve the problem you're trying to solve. In this particular case, Moses needed help from people who would be able to help him settle disputes among God's people. Not everyone is gifted in that arena. Not everybody knows how to solve an interpersonal dispute. You need people with some ability in that area. So I talk about natural abilities and I talk about supernatural abilities. And God can give you supernatural abilities. Don't sell yourself short. The almighty, omnipotent God dwelling inside of you can help you to accomplish anything. But there are some things you don't want me helping you. You want somebody with a... You don't want me fixing your car. You don't. There are a lot of things that I don't have the ability to do, but God has given us each one ability. If you're looking to delegate, you need to find faithful people who have the ability to do what needs to be done. The second characteristic that is mentioned here is that these people fear God. And so you've heard me say through the years about our annual business meeting. We have an annual business meeting that comes up in the first quarter of every calendar year. And during that time, we have an election that takes place. We have a board member position that comes up for election every year. We give an accounting. We let the congregation know where we came from, what new happened, what we were able to accomplish, how much we gave to missions, all of that sort of stuff. We give that sort of accounting to the people. And I've instructed the congregation and said, look, when it comes to the financial report, I'm much more concerned about having to give an account to God than I am about having to give an account to any man. It doesn't instill any fear in me to have to give an account. I've got a tremendous bookkeeper. I have a tremendous office manager. And so we have explanations that are written out there. We come into it and say, we have nothing to hide. And the reason for that is because of our attitude towards God. If you are ever under a leader that does not have reverence for God, I'd be looking for a different position if God would let me. You know, like if that was the situation, I wouldn't say, you know what, God, I don't want to be living under a godless leader. I want to be living under a godly leader. And so that was not just for the person at the top of the authority chain of command, but it was for everybody else there as well. Do you realize that there was a time when a minister was actually president of the United States of America? Who he preached, one of the earliest presidents. I mean, they may not have been perfect men, but can you imagine the uproar that would take place in modern society if a credential card-carrying minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ ran for national office? The world would have an epic meltdown. They's like, we don't want people of God leading our country. Okay. Now, what I just told you, that's truth. That's where people are, because there was a guy that ran for office and they were like, we don't want a theocracy here in America. I don't know anybody looking to establish a theocracy here in America, but I do know a lot of people that say, you know what, if we lived our lives with a lot more alignment to the Word of God than what we're living, we wouldn't have the problems and the confusion and the chaos that we've got going on. So Moses was instructed to look for people with a proper relationship with God that said, you know what, I'm not here representing myself. I'm not here to make myself feel better. I'm here to serve God in this particular office. The third thing that it says here is that they were people of truth, men of truth. They lived it. They could not be bought. They were after a sound judgment, a sound judgment. And so I've got a person that I know, and they have told me about some of their interactions. This was a person that I went to high school with. They've told me of some of their interactions with ministers in the past where what they were living in private did not line up with what they were speaking in public. And, you know, I don't want to do that. I had a friend, our guest speaker that was here back in October, and he was talking about a person. He actually told me about a couple of people, and they were just admit that they lied. That they lied, and his thing was this: look, if I am not going to go to heaven, I don't want it to be for something stupid like lying. Okay, we serve in a day and time where there are people who will set aside the truth for their agenda or their notoriety. And Moses said, no, I'm not looking for people that will do that. I'm looking for people who are looking for the rock solid truth. They hate covetousness. Hate covetousness. In other words, they cannot be bought. They cannot be bribed. They cannot be enticed to alter their judgment that they're making in reverence to God because somebody says, well, this is what I'm going to do for you if you will rule in my favor. Okay? Truth cannot be bought and it cannot be sold. Truth is meant to be lived. It is meant to be imparted. And he goes on here and he says, and place them as rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds of fifties and tens. In other words, there are people with different levels of abilities. There is a philosophy that says that men tend to get promoted to the level of their incompetence. I'm going to say that again. Men tend to get promoted to the level of their incompetence. So because I was raised in a sports family, I'll tell you there are coaching positions. And so you start off generally as an assistant coach to someone, to some position. Then you become a position coach. You might get promoted to offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, and then eventually people get promoted to head coach. And I've known a lot of people who were really marvelous at one particular level in the coaching chain, but if you elevated them just one level, they went from phenomenal to horrible in their skill set. Okay? So I was at a meeting. I ran into several pastors at this meeting. It was a banquet, a pastor appreciation event that was put on by this organization. And I saw one of the pastors there of one of the largest churches in Brevard County. And as he spoke just a little bit, I realized we're the exact same age. We're the exact same age. And I realized that there's a whole lot of things that that gentleman has to be very, very good at, pastoring a very large church with a very large and prominent facility, that I don't wrestle with those same concepts, because I pastor a much smaller congregation with a much smaller facility. Now, I will tell you this. There's also a skill set that I have that he may not have. He might have it. He may be able to do it just fine. There are people who are way more talented than I am. I know that because I raised three of them. I'm not threatened by that at all. But I will tell you that whether you're a ruler of 10 or a ruler of 50 or a ruler of 100 or rulers of thousands, you're doing it to the glory of God. It's not about your ego, and it's not about how other people look at you. It's make the most out of the opportunity that you have. The younger that you are, constantly be striving to become better and better so that you can serve with greater excellence and to his glory than you ever have before. Verse number 22 is the last point of advice that Moses' father-in-law gave him. Wouldn't you like to have a relationship where, you know, you've got one of the most powerful men that's ever walked on the face of the earth, and yet he's humble enough to receive wisdom and wise counsel from his father-in-law, who was a shepherd? Okay. I'm here to tell you, you can get some good sound advice as long as you remain teachable and as long as I remain. It says, and let them, this is verse number 22, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. What is your life looking like right at this moment? Because here's what I found. Most people are carrying around burdens that other people don't really know that they're carrying. And the great gift of the body of Christ is that we are here to be a blessing. That's our mission statement at Merit Assembly of God. Be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. Another pastor, he added a word. He said, we are blessed and we get to be a blessing. It's a privilege to be able to bless other people. And so, if you're going through a challenge right now, I pray maybe that a little bit of that humility that Moses experienced when his father-in-law said, Moses, I know you just conquered the greatest army that's on the face of the earth right now with God's help, but what you're doing here, you need to improve on that. And you need to make some changes in your life. And Moses said, I think you're right. If you're carrying a burden, God wants you to realize that he's placed some people around you who love you, who care for you, and who want to see you become the best you that you can be so that you can live your life with great joy and great effectiveness to the glory of God. So we got a couple of minutes here before the end of the program. I'm going to stop with that in Exodus chapter 18 and say this. If you right now are finding your joy under attack, I want you to know that the source of your joy has not gone anyplace. One of my great favorite songs during the Christmas season is Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And I know a relative of mine, his mother-in-law and his father-in-law both passed away this last year. He had some health challenges of his own, but I know this. Jesus lives in his heart and lives in his wife's heart, and as much sorrow and heartache as they've gone through this year, their joy is still in place. If you are finding your joy under attack, I want to encourage you to spend some time praising the Lord and say, God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. David said that when sin had come in and taken his joy, he said, I don't want my joy to go away. And so, God, I'm going to ask you to restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Yours might not be that. I can tell you that I got overextended and over-fatigued and overstressed here several weeks ago, and it attacked my joy. Not the joy of Jesus, not the joy of serving the church or anything like that. It was an entirely different arena, but I said, devil, you can't have my joy. The kingdom of God in 2021 is still righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You and I, we have the privilege of being able to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. There's no reason to fear, no reason to be worried or anxious or anything like that. We can have confidence that God is going to provide everything that we have need of, and that includes the joy of the Lord. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Looking into yesterday and all the dreams that heaven sent, maybe love will come our way. When I stood upon the land, threw the dream into the sea, maybe they will rise again. And maybe love will come my way. And maybe hope will come to us again. What is this thing called love? I know.